follow his example and replace bitterness with forgiveness. Secondly, the cross focuses our attention on eternity. This life, with its joys and sorrows, will very soon be over. One day, and it won't be long, we'll find ourselves in eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, talks about our present troubles being quite small and not lasting very long, relatively speaking. Yet they result in great glory that will last forever. When circumstances are about to overwhelm you and bitterness threatens to get the better of you, remind yourself that this won't last forever. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, you will one day live in his presence with the awful effects of suffering and injustice completely removed. So the cross shows us that bitterness is not an inevitable response to suffering. The cross focuses our attention on eternity. And the cross demonstrates that things aren't always what they seem. To everyone standing around the cross, the future must have looked pretty bleak. All hope had gone. It seemed that nothing could undo the despondency and the bewilderment of Jesus' followers. But they were wrong. Jesus' resurrection changed all of that. A new beginning was about to take place. And a new beginning was about to take place for Naomi. God had plans for her. Back in Bethlehem, she would teach Obed, son of Ruth and her new husband Boaz, and pass on to him her real-life experiences, real-life personal experiences of God. This little boy would grow up and would father a son called Jesse, who in turn would become the father of Israel's great King David. Many generations later, from this lineage, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would be born. But note this, Naomi never knew the outcome. She died long before all this took place. She never knew. Who knows what your suffering, my suffering, will accomplish if we offer it to God along with our bitter thoughts and attitudes? We can survive, even thrive, when we offer our pain and bitterness to the God who constantly loves us and is always in control. I believe if Naomi had lived in New Testament times, she would have quoted Romans 8:28 to little Obed. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things. In a moment, we're going to sing, Blessed Be Your Name. And this song is a song of praise to God when things are going well, and a song of praise to God when things are going pretty badly. To offer praise to God, even when you don't particularly feel like praising him, is a great antidote to bitterness, and it will help you survive in the bad times. Even if we don't praise him for these bad times, we can still praise him in the bad times. Why? Because he's always good. He's always in control. He always loves us. And he never changes.